Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today, of course, you're listening to Educational HR Radio. Welcome. And of course, if you're listening to us podcasting on all major podcast channels, we welcome you to the program. Or, of course, you're on our flagship station, WLOB 100.5 here in the great state of Maine area. We appreciate you as well. Our guest today is Anna Papalia. She's the CEO and author of Interviewology, her first book, and we're going to talk to her today about interviewing, I'm sure, a topic near and dear to everybody's heart. Welcome to the program, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's great to have you on. You know, I got to tell you, interviewing can be really, really beneficial or really, really scary, depending upon how you think about it. You know, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about why you even thought about this topic or what kind of gives you the street cred to be able to talk about it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, previous to this, I was a director of talent acquisition, where I was responsible for hiring everyone in the organization from mail clerks on up to executive vice presidents. I built an intern program. I hired everyone in the organization. And that came at the end of a 10-year HR career, rising through the ranks of HR generalist and recruiter. And I had somewhat of a calling. I felt like I needed to leave the corporate world to start my own business to teach people how to interview, which was really such a crazy idea at the time. I could have stayed in my role. I was very happy. I loved the organization where I worked, had a fantastic boss, and I partnered with the C-suite and I did all the recruiting strategies and I truly loved it. But I felt as though I was getting a little bit of judgment fatigue and I really wanted to jump on the other side of the table often and help people. You know, when they would give me an answer, if I would make an offer, I'd be thinking, if you just said this, you'd get the job, or if you just did this, you'd get more money. And I did that in 2011. I quit my job to start a business to specifically teach job seekers and hiring managers how to interview. A few months later, I was recruited by Temple University's Fox School of Business because I had hired all of my interns from their prestigious program. And the dean said, you know what they're doing right and wrong in interviews, come and train them. And it was sort of like getting a PhD in interviewing. For the first 5 and 6 years, I was teaching 3 3-hour interview skills workshops a week, hundreds of mock interviews, hundreds of resume reviews. And I went into that very cocky, thinking I knew exactly what it took to, you know, get hired. But once you start seeing hundreds, literally I was servicing 600 to 800 students a year in a semester, that you start to realize that you're not going to get through to everyone. And about around the year 5 and 6 mark, I started to ask myself deeper questions. You know, maybe the way I do it isn't the only way people interview.
Shocking. Right? I'm sure that was a revelation because, you know, people are people. And we all have a different ways that we think about interviewing. We all have different ways of how we think about presenting ourselves. We sometimes struggle to present ourselves. A lot of people have defining interview as I have to talk about me. Oh, I don't want to talk about me. And it's better if the interviewer speaks all the time and I just get to say yes and no. And that's not the way to obviously have a great interview. When you were looking and talking to these people, you probably, as we talk about in the book, thought of different ways that people react to how somebody asks a question. Talk to us a little about the emotional part of interviewing, how that really gets to the core of how a person handles themselves in front of another person.
Well, essentially what I found when I collected my research and went down this road and asked myself, you know, we don't all do this the same, or maybe I'm not the only one doing it this way, was that I discovered 4 unique interview styles. I'm sure we've all heard of love languages, right? We've all used DISC and Myers-Briggs in the corporate world. And I wanted to give us all a tool backed in research and science to help us give us a language around interviewing. So these four distinct interview styles are: we have charmers who go into interviews wanting to be liked. They want to make a connection. They look at an interview like a performance and they are the star of the show. They really enjoy interviewing from an emotional standpoint, like you said. And then we have challengers. Challengers go into an interview wanting to be respected and heard. They ask a lot of tough questions because they show their qualifications by really getting in there and figuring stuff out. They look at an interview like a cross-examination. And then we have examiners. Examiners look at an interview. They are the polar opposite of charmers. They don't go into an interview wanting to be liked. They go into an interview wanting to be seen as qualified. So they spend a lot of time talking about their qualifications, the data, their experiences, and they very seldom share personal anecdotes or tell stories the way a charmer does. They're not looking to make a connection. An examiner looks at an interview like a test that they are either going to pass or fail. And then lastly, we have harmonizers. Harmonizers are the opposite of a challenger. Harmonizers very much want to adapt. They look at an interview like a tryout for a team that they want to join. They're always really thinking about the bigger picture, about the collective. They talk in terms of we and us rather than I and me. Harmonizers are warm and collaborative, and they're slightly different than their opposite, the challenger.
What's interesting, and that's probably true, that we do have different ways that we think about the interaction between people. So let's go back. It's interesting, and we're going to talk a lot about your book, of course, Interviewology, and it's the science, of course, the new science of interviewing. How did you discover these four styles? What was it that made you realize there's only four? Why not eight? Why not 16? What really brought you down to a core of four?
Well, technically, there are four primary interview styles, but each have a variation of two. So you can be a challenger with charmer tendencies, for example, or a charmer with harmonizer tendencies. So each core, you know, interview style has a variation. Now, how I discovered this was I had been teaching for those 5 or 6 years. And I think this happens to a lot of teachers. You come up to a point where you think, why aren't all of my students getting this? What's happening here? Some of my students are hitting an obstacle. I'm giving this advice, which I think is the best advice, right? I think that the way you interview is the way I interview because I used to be in charge and I know what it takes to get hired. But I saw my students, especially the highly introverted folks, not resonating with the same advice. And I stumbled on a couple things in my research. First of all, is that we all have a bias to our own personal style. And we have, in our society, especially in corporate HR, we're almost always conducting social interviews. So we almost always prefer extroverts in interviews. So where does that leave all of the introverts? So that was some of the initial insights I had. And through testing thousands of students, I realized that if we could create an X and Y axis, putting introversion and extroversion really at the core of someone's interview style, because your interview style isn't about how prepared you are. It's not about how much you want the job. It's based more on your personality, right? Introverts or extroverts present differently in interviews. So when you break it out into a quadrant, therefore, you know, you come up with 12 variations.
Yeah, it's interesting. You're talking a lot about, obviously, the way people connect between one another. One of the things that's interesting is interviewers don't always have the training to be good at interview managers or leaders or even HR. They kind of learn through the ropes. I always talk about the fact that somebody in 1985 or 95 might be using the same questions today. I don't recommend it from the HR side, but they may be using some of the same standard questions that have been asked forever because it's quote unquote always worked for them. It's certainly true, I think, that many have not had formal training in interviewing. What did you find through your research and your take?
Well, what we found is that shockingly, 90% of hiring managers have never been trained to interview. There's a wonderful book by Dave Petula called Making the Cut, which is all about the hiring process being really, really flawed. And what I found in my own research is that, to your point, a lot of people will follow the pack or they will maybe just do what someone else did, you know, in their interview process, or worse, they just Google random interview questions and then they just keep asking those. So it's doing us a huge disservice, and it's costing companies hundreds and thousands of dollars by not training hiring managers to make the most important business decision, because who you hire changes your company, it changes your department, it changes everything. And I'm on a personal mission to make sure that we give hiring managers and job seekers tools backed in research and science. I always thought it was very weird that we don't have any tools for this very specific, very important business decision.
You, of course, are listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. I'm your host, David Chulo. And today, of course, we're talking with Anna Papalia. She is the CEO and author of Interviewology, The New Science of Interviewing. Anna, you talk a little bit about, you know, dealing with not only the person who's being interviewed, the interviewee, I'll call it, and then the interviewer. Does your process talk about both sides of that coin, or is it just specifically for the candidate?
No. So your interview style doesn't change whether you're the job seeker or the hiring manager. So if you are a charmer as a job seeker, you're not going to turn into an examiner if you're a hiring manager, because again, it's based on your personality. So you will be a charmer as a job seeker and a charmer as a hiring manager.
When somebody is using that same style, is there the concern that, as many hiring managers do, and you alluded to, that their bias is to, I want somebody like me?
Oh, we all know this, right? In HR, how many times have you seen people hire their mini-me's? It happens quite frequently because, like I said earlier, we're all biased to our own style. We're all biased to, and quite frankly, it's easier to hire someone who you get along with or who you like in the interview. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this research and create a formalized language, because I had been in thousands of debriefs with hiring managers. And you know how it goes. Generally, someone says something like, I didn't really like that candidate. I'm like, well, what does that mean? I would rather someone say, you know, I am a harmonizer in interviews, for example. I like to be really quiet and listen, and I want to build rapport with this person. But that person came in guns blazing. They asked a ton of tough questions, and that really just rubbed me the wrong way. I would rather say that than I don't like that person. Giving us a formalized language to talk about our preferences and then also how someone else is coming across seemed to be so much more scientific than just, I don't like them.
But that is how we interview. Human behavior would say that we think about somebody who's going to fit, quote unquote, fit in our culture. And maybe it's fit the manager that they're going to be under, or it fits the leader that's going to be in charge of them, or it just fits, it's more comfortable. And that probably also bodes well for the candidate themselves, who look at it and say, I want to work there because I feel like I'm going to fit in their organization. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to be liked. I'm going to get something, you know, that I feel that I can accomplish. And I guess the question really comes down to, as we look at this, emotional intelligence is a big part of why leaders are successful. And part of that is understanding the emotions of the other person. And there is a likability factor in that. How do you see this merging with that?
Well, I think often we use culture fit just as a guise to, you know, create the cultures that we want. And we need to take a deeper look in the interview process. It's beyond culture fit. It's also who's going to be great at the job. And often the person who's going to be really good at the job might not be someone you quote unquote like or click with in the interview, but they might be the perfect person. They might have the perfect technical skills. And I'm hoping hiring managers and job seekers alike who read my upcoming book realize that really the way to interview better is to be more open-minded, because we have a tendency to be closed-minded as humans, especially in the interview process, because we can use terms like culture fit and how we're all going to get along. But that's not really what we should be interviewing for. We should be interviewing for skill sets and doing reverse engineering around job descriptions and coming up with really great interview questions to get to the heart of whether or not that person can do the job. It's less, I like them, and more, are they going to be a great technical fit?
When you see people hiring today, as we wrap up this segment, what percentage do you think get it right all the time?
That's a great question. 10, 20%, maybe.
That's a low amount, and we'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, a News Talk WLOP 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust, and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. And of course, you can listen to the HR Power Hour on HRPowerHour.com. You can go to WLOB Radio at 100.5 FM in the Maine area or WLOBRadio.com anywhere in the U.S. You can also go to any major podcast channel. And we're there. Just type in HR Power Hour, and you will see us. All right, Anna, we're back with Anna Papalia, and she's the author and CEO of Interviewology, the new science of interviewing. Anna, let's talk a little bit about the book itself. It's broken down basically, as I read it, I've been able to read it, and it's broken down by a candidate and then an interviewer for each one of the four areas: the charmer, the challenger, the examiner, or the harmonizer. So let's talk a little bit about the flow of the book, what people can get out of it. Then we'll take an example. And luckily, we have a live one that we're going to talk about.
Great. Wonderful. So my book opens with my personal story. I believe that an interview can change your life. So I tell the story of getting into an Ivy League school in my college interview. And I weave some of my personal stories and client anecdotes throughout the book. And then obviously I unpack each interview style in depth, the charmer, challenger, examiner, and harmonizer. It was really important to me that we talk about both job seekers and hiring managers in this book, because as we all know, most books on how to interview just focus on the job seeker. And there isn't that much of a difference between the position of power, you know, whether you're the person asking questions or the person answering questions. There's just really slightly a difference of, you know, who's in power, who's in the position of power. But like I said earlier, your interview style doesn't change depending on whether you're a job seeker or hiring manager. So we wanted to make sure it was all in the book. And then I closed the book with a story and really the lessons that I learned in discovering interview styles.
So from those lessons, if we go through them, what are the top two lessons you learned?
Well, I alluded to it earlier that when I left the corporate world, I was fairly cocky. And I was pretty sure that when I started this research that I would find that everyone that interviewed really well had to have my style, right? And I was going to determine that, of course, my style was the best style. And instead, what I ended up finding out was that everyone feels that way about their interview style. And this is where our biases come from, our personal preferences. And then that bleeds into my second big lesson, which was I was incredibly humbled. And this process in these last 6-7 years of collecting this research and writing this book has made me realize how closed-minded I had been previously. And I am so much more open-minded about interviewing and the process in general. And it allows me to see just how complex it really is.
We're going to be talking about the book a lot, but one of the things, maybe anecdotally, what's the biggest surprise you learned, other than for yourself, but maybe others have shared with you of what they've learned in going through this process?
Well, I say it in the book and I say it all the time on social. I am a charmer in interviews. I prioritize making a connection and I want to be liked. And when I went in to collect the research, I didn't think that there was going to be anyone that didn't go into an interview wanting to be liked. So between you and me and all of our listeners, that was my biggest shocking surprise. And still, I still chuckle about it to this day, because examiners do not go into interviews wanting to be liked. And I asked probably 280 people these questions specifically after we tested the personality assessment and after we tested the results. I wanted to spend a lot of time with people personally. And I would get a small kick out of it and chuckle every time someone said to me, yeah, no, I don't want to be liked. I don't even think about that in the interview process. And I share one of those stories in the book as well. You know, I was teaching a corporate workshop and a charmer raised her hand and she said, oh my gosh, this is so me. Like when I leave an interview, I tell my husband, oh, it went really well. They liked me. I shared that story in a workshop and a different hiring manager raised his hand and he said, as I hear you saying this, I think to myself, what would I say if I came home and my wife said, how'd the interview went go? And I would say, good, they saw me as qualified. And that to me still surprises me so much that we go in with this much of a different perspective and a different way to get someone to see us as qualified. I had no idea that there were people that went into interviews not wanting to be liked.
Do you think that because there's four different styles and obviously variations of that, that there's more or less chance of somebody being hired based upon the style they are?
Well, the assessment is scientifically valid, which means we have a normal distribution, which is incredibly important when it comes to testing or having a personality assessment. So technically, there's a normal distribution, which means your chances are the same. And then I extrapolated this in my research. So at Temple University, juniors and seniors who were getting offers, a lot of our students were getting job offers. And I assumed if there was one style that was better than others, we would see it. But we didn't actually. And that was another really wonderful realization in this research, was that it wasn't like all the harmonizers were the ones getting getting offers, right? It's not like you have to be submissive to get hired. It's not like all the challengers were the ones getting these high powered positions. It didn't work that way. So everyone has an equal shot of doing really well in the interview process. It's not about pretending to be something you're not. It's about embracing who you are and being the best version of that.
Do you believe when somebody goes into an interview and maybe it's a charmer versus, or I should say a challenger versus a harmonizer, that that could be why there's an immediate potential clash between those two individuals, and then maybe they go, this isn't right for me. Even if the job is right, even if everything's just perfect, that that's an immediate clash, and that by maybe recognizing that, you lessen or gain a chance to make that happen?
Exactly. Precisely. I think most of the time we're making bad hires because of that, our wires getting crossed or that clash. And that's why I wanted to create this language to promote a better understanding. So it was like, hey, maybe I didn't really click with that person, but it's not because they're not going to be great at the job. Maybe they just go about interviewing in a different way. You know, you're a challenger, for example. If a harmonizer was interviewing with you, you would be a little irritated. They are much more quiet. They're more laid back. They're more collaborative, and they don't ask tough questions the way a challenger does. They're more reserved, and you may see them as not qualified, not passionate, not interested in the job, when that couldn't be further from the truth. They just have a different way about going about it. And I want to promote a more humanistic understanding in the interview process. So we have a better understanding of, oh, this person, you know, wasn't, and trust me, we've all been in interviews where people are just really unprepared and not qualified. That's different. But I'm talking about their approach, how they answer questions, that feeling when you get, when you're slightly irritated by someone, it's more likely their interview style rather than they're not going to be good at the job.
And of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and our guest today is Anna Papalia, and she's the CEO and author of Interviewology. So talk to us about what a challenger is. Let's get down into detail into what a specific person who is trying to interview, not an interviewer, but an actual interviewee, what does that mean?
Challengers pride themselves on showing that they're qualified by not really having a thought that's unthought, right, or unsaid. They want to make sure that they go in and they get all of their questions answered. They don't mind being the devil's advocate. They don't mind asking anything that could be, you know, a tough question. They want to, like, you know, turn over every rock. They want to take the skeletons out of the closet. They pride themselves on being seen as qualified by figuring it all out, that cross-examination in the interview. And they really pride themselves on that. And they like to be challenged as well. It's not a one-way street. They really prefer to have that back and forth in an interview. That's how they gain an understanding and show that they're qualified.
In the book, you talk about challengers understand something better than the other styles, which is it doesn't pay to pretend to be something you're not. Many of them have told me that it feels impossible to pretend. I once taught a challenger who told me, I feel constrained by integrity. That's because challenges are steadfast. It talks a little bit about, as you go through, obviously, the rest of that segment, it talks about not about the happy side, but actually about the ability to investigate and try to get really deep into it. What's your take in regards to how somebody sees that on the other side? Can that be seen as too pushy, too combative? You know, what's your take on that?
Well, first of all, it depends on your interview style. If you're also a challenger, you're going to resonate with it. But with all styles, whether you're a charmer, challenger, examiner, or harmonizer, it depends on how balanced you are, right? We can all display strengths, but if we display them too much, they become overused strengths. So challengers, like I write about in the book, are wonderful at really, and they really want to be respected and heard. They're great at knowing who they are, and they are not going to bend. It's so admirable, especially for me as a charmer. I'm way more accommodating. I'll shift my answers here or there because I want the person to like me. But when your priority is to be respected and heard, your priority is to be yourself. And that's admirable. But it might not be admirable to a harmonizer whose top priority is to be seen as fitting in, as collaborative. They are harmonizers after all. So we can all get our wires crossed with somebody, right? And the chances of us diminishing that miscommunication or getting our wires crossed happens when we first understand what our priority is, what's your baseline, understanding your style, and then working from there comfortably. And we've all been in situations when you're like, ooh, I was a little too much of a challenger in that moment. Or, ooh, I was just, wow, I was just telling them anything they wanted to hear because I was like extra excited, or, you know, we were having a really good time in that conversation. And those moments are where you can check yourself and balance yourself out so your strength doesn't become an overused strength. And I write about those in the end of every style chapter in the book. I write about strengths and overused strengths of each interview style.
It's interesting. So let's talk about my assessment, because obviously, as I said, I took the assessment prior to coming on the air, and you and I have had a chance to talk a little bit about it, but not too much. So you get to kind of give me live feedback today. So as I look at the model, right, it shows that Challenger is two of the blocks out of the three, and Charmer is one of the blocks. It's kind of like different colors of what I'll say, like an aqua blue and like a teal or green, I said, a green area. So I find it interesting. And so tell me about how that blended approach between the two actually comes across.
So it sounds like your results are a challenger with charmer tendencies. Is that what it says there at
correct.
The top?
That's exactly right. Yes.
So that means that you are highly extroverted and you are a little bit more accommodating than a full-on challenger, or perhaps a challenger that has examiner tendencies. They would be actually more steadfast than you. So you're extroverted with some accommodating tendencies, which means you're not as steadfast as some of the other styles.
Well, anybody that knows me knows there's no question I'm extroverted. So that's certainly true. I don't think that anybody, as a matter of fact, some of the other assessments would have the extroversion bursting through the line on the other side, but that's okay.
You're falling off the page.
Yeah. This arrow says into infinity and beyond at the end is what it says. So that's probably very true. I think the accommodating part is probably also very true, right? As it says here, someone with a steadfast style is internally focused, thinking of your answers. You prioritize both the need to, quote, get it right, and the feedback you receive from the interviewer. The style is flexible to a point. You are comfortable adapting to the energy in a room and that needs of your audience. However, when it comes to technical details and answering questions, basically you get to make sure that it's right in terms of it. So I think it was quite accurate in terms of that area. What's my risk? What's my risk being this style?
Well, like I said before, every style, there's not a style that's right or wrong, and there isn't an overwhelming risk inherent in being a challenger, for example. But yours specifically would be that challengers have a tendency to get a little too steadfast in some moments, right? They maybe dig their heels in, they become inflexible. They are not willing to be cooperative, collaborative, or bend or listen and be open-minded, like we were talking about before. But the strengths that come along with that, you don't lose yourself in an interview the way a charmer or a harmonizer would, because they are so accommodating. They have a tendency to sort of forget who they are or tell people what they want to hear. Challengers don't have that risk.
It's interesting. It talks about the approach and style, and there are six areas: motivation, agenda, how you get people to see you are qualified, how to go about your agenda, strategy you use to succeed, and when you meet a stranger. And I thought under the when you meet a stranger, you will test the boundaries to see what's acceptable and adjust accordingly. You're happy to take the lead. Again, I can't say that's not true.
Well, you absolutely test the boundaries. I can tell already just by the style of this interview. Unlike, for example, the other types that are not as steadfast as you, for example, a charmer or a harmonizer, you're going to push to see how far you can go with somebody. It makes a great interview. It makes a riveting podcast, right? It's very entertaining. And in an interview, that's where that cross-examination feeling comes in. Oh, that person might feel like they're really being peppered. And one of the negatives of a challenger hiring manager is that they can be way too intense. They can be really scary. and really intimidating in an interview. And that really pushes people away. And while I understand you're testing this and the EEOC determines and defines a job interview like a test and you should be testing candidates, you also need to balance it a little bit with building rapport and remembering that it's the beginning of a relationship with someone.
That's spot on. And we're going to talk more about your book, Interviewology, and my results when we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored to thank our sponsors for their support and contributions to this program. We thank the law firms of Verrill, Jackson Lewis, and Sheehan Finney, along with our partners, Paper Trails and Strategic HR. Want to be the next sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say HR Power Hour sponsor.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day, starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking about interviewology. That's right. We have Anna Papalea. She is the CEO and author of this great book that we're talking about, Interviewology. It's available right now, The New Science of Interviewing. And it also comes with an assessment, which we're kind of talking about as well. And yes, I took the assessment. That's your host, me, took the assessment. And Anna is shredding me apart. It's wonderful. She's enjoying it. She's having a good time. No, it's not the case, but it's good for the audience to know how it really is. Okay. No, it's all good. It's fun. Can have fun on the radio. It's a good part. Of course, this is educational HR radio. And who says HR can't be fun? All right. So, you know, we're talking about the report that I received back after taking the interviewology assessment. I came back as a challenger. And in that, and as we have discussed with that, we are kind of breaking down now the approach and style. And you talked a little bit about being steadfast, to be, you know, a priority is being seen as qualified and respected. Talk to us a little bit about focus, how I come across to others, how you make a good impression, and maybe some interviewing advice for me.
Sure. Well, I think often one of the areas where a challenger can grow and become more balanced is that they have a tendency to be overwinded. They like to, and they believe that it really feels professional to talk about all of their thoughts around an issue. But it's very easy to lose your audience in an interview. So I coach challengers to figure out what the point is of a story that you're sharing in an interview. And that point is always how you are qualified for this job. Or if you're a hiring manager, for example, talking too much is not great in an interview. As a hiring manager, you should only be talking 20% of the time, because an interview is a test, like I talked about earlier, and it should be conducted like a test. You should ask a question and allow the person to answer. That's another area, especially for challenger hiring managers, where they can get into trouble because they have a tendency to talk too much, especially as hiring managers. And then they're not really testing the candidate. They really don't know what this person can do because they were so busy talking about the department and the role and the company and how they feel and the projects that are coming up. And then the candidate just sits there and nods and smiles.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? But I see a lot of interviewers who do that. And, you know, in today's hiring world, it is certainly true that we are both having to interview them to sell them on the company as much as they are interviewing to sell us on them. And I think that the some of those challenges play into this. We feel we have to maybe go overboard in terms of our conversations or really prove our point. And that, I think, is one of the reasons that certainly you're talking about the fact that you can talk too much, right, to go too far in terms of these conversations.
And as a challenger specifically, you can talk too much as a job seeker or a hiring manager. There's a point in an interview, right, where you don't want to talk about too many personal details. You don't want to share too much, just enough of the point to show that you're qualified.
So let's flip the switch and talk about me as an interviewer. What are some of the tips and things that you would give for somebody like me, who's a challenger, from the interviewer side?
I would say that remember to put yourself in the job seeker's shoes. Like we talked about earlier, challengers can come across as intimidating, and all of those questions that you really want answers to, you might not get everything answered. It is just usually an hour interview. So managing your expectations around what you can get and making sure that you are asking questions and letting the candidate answer, not jumping in, not trying to help them with their answers, and letting their answers be what they are, is incredibly difficult for challengers.
Yeah, because you want to keep questioning.
Right, you know, exactly.
Right, you want to keep questioning. I remember back, it's a great story to tell. I remember back when I interviewed for a role I had at a corporate organization, and I came in and I had an interview for a day. It started at, I flew in, I arrived at like 8 a.m. The interview was all day, and I flew out at 7 o'clock at night. And it consisted of multiple interviews, of course, but there was one main individual that did the major interviewing. And this was more in the retail segment where I used to work, into that area. And this gentleman, great guy, Alan, every time I would answer a question, he would keep asking another question based upon my answer. And he'd go 3, 4, 5, 6 levels deep. And I remember coming home and driving from the airport home. And of course, we don't have to talk about the fact that cell phones required a bag in the phone with a big long tower at that time to get a signal. So I didn't make many calls. And I remember I walked into the house and my wife said, "How did it go?" And I think I started out with a few Greek, Spanish, French, and other language words of, "I don't fire trucking, remember how it goes. And if I ever get this fire trucking French fried flaming flamingo job, I will not, you know. And I went off because I was like, there was no answer. It just kept going and going and going. So maybe I learned a little from that, right? In terms of understanding, it became a very valuable tool later to not necessarily believe, but use the old motto, trust but verify. And that probably influenced this result today.
Well, it sounds to me that you were interviewed by a challenger who was somewhat unchecked, and he was using all of that. That became an overused strength, and it felt like an interrogation rather than an interview. And that is a textbook definition of a challenger. And he could have benefited from, like I said before, the advice I just gave you, stopping, you know, ask a question and allow the answer to be what it is. Sure, sometimes we have follow-up questions, but peppering someone in an interview is not going to help you make a better hire. It's not going to help you figure out what you want. But there's a need the challengers have where they feel just like they have to itch that scratch. They have to keep going. They have to keep asking. And it begins to feel, if you're on the other side of it, like you are being interrogated. And then you have the reaction like you had with your wife. And you could flip it, right? Imagine if you were interviewed by a harmonizer. As a harmonizer, who's your polar opposite, they are the opposite in every sense of the word. They would have been more quiet. They would have not really given you much to go off of. Now, that can make people go crazy in a different way because they have this unbelievable poker face. They are always asking questions about what did you do or what did you do on your team? And they're talking about culture and they're not giving you much to go off of. And they're so warm and likable and collaborative. It's really hard to know if you've moved the needle or if you've made a great impression. Examiners, on the other hand, they're specific about, you know, how you do your job and what you do, and share with me exactly what you did on that project. And they'll ask very incisive, very specific questions. And if you're a charmer like me, I'm thinking this person doesn't like me at all. Like all they want to do is talk about this project that I worked on, but I'm so much of a bigger, like I have a whole story and they didn't even want to get to know me. And these are ways that our wires get crossed in interviews. And by understanding your style and having this definition, I hope will allow you to feel like this is less personal, just like your experience, and more that person's style. And if you knew that that person was a challenger, one of the ways to stop the peppering of the questions is to push back on them. Challengers really appreciate and they respect if you shoot back a couple questions at them. If you just sit there submissive and just keep taking it and you just keep getting peppered questions, it gets worse. So if you give it back, that you gain some respect.
And I did that. And we're going to talk about where they can get this great new book when we come back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
As the list of compliance challenges for businesses continues to grow, it's time to think about your payroll vendor as someone that can do more than just pay your employees. I'm Chris Clef, president of Paper Trails. We're a team of fun and local experts purveying convenient, high-tech payroll and compliance services across New England. Whether your business is struggling to stay compliant with an earned paid leave law, you're worrying about retirement savings programs, or you have questions about your state's paid family medical leave, Paper Trails has the team and tools necessary to allow you to handle the work while we handle the paperwork. To learn more about Paper Trails and how we can help your business, visit papertrails.com/HR Power Hour.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Of course, the HR Power Hour can be found on HRPowerHour.com, podcast on all major podcast channels. Of course, as we mentioned, Affirmation WLB Radio as well. Today, our guest has been Anna Papalia. She is the CEO and author of Interviewology. Her great book, Interviewology, The New Science of Interviewing, is for sale right now. Anna, where can they get it?
At any of your preferred retailers, Amazon, or on my website, theinterviewology.com.
And at the website, interviewology.com, they can talk about the assessment that you have. Tell us a little bit about, since I took it, I can say a great packet of information has been coming almost weekly. Tell us about that whole process.
Sure, absolutely. So you can go to theinterviewology.com and take our scientifically valid interview style assessment to determine your interview style. You receive a 40-page customized interview prep workbook. We have one for job seekers and one for hiring managers, because as I said earlier, your interview style doesn't change whether you're a job seeker or hiring manager. And then with that, we send a series of 12 emails weekly to walk you through exercises in the workbook. We have five different types of interview questions to prepare for, lists of behavioral questions for job seekers, a top 10 list of questions to ask when you get an offer to get more money. We really walk you through everything that you need to learn to interview when you get an Interviewology profile.
And I'll tell you, it is very comprehensive. How much is this, you know, how much time does it take to take the assessment? And how do you use the book with the assessment to really build upon it?
Sure. So it's 20 questions. It takes the average user 6 to 8 minutes to take it. We're very proud that it is scientifically valid and accurate. You get your results instantaneously. And like we said before, it's 40 pages. 10 pages is the impression that you make in interviews. It walks you through your style, how accommodating and steadfast you are, your approach and style section. And there are about 8 pages of exactly how you are. And it's highly customized to you with your name throughout the document. It was really important to me that we provide a document to somebody who could receive it and go, oh my goodness, this is me in an interview, and be able to use it as a workbook. And then my book is really a companion piece to this. So for example, you received your results, you are a challenger, you can walk through everything and you really get to know you as a challenger, but you don't know the three other styles. So you could get my book and read about all the interview styles, their strengths and overused strengths, and lots of client stories throughout the book to help you better understand. Because once you understand your style, you really need to start understanding how do you read other people's styles. And then you'll get to know, for example, your opposites.
I got to tell you, it's a great book. I appreciate the fact that we were able to go through not only the process, but also I was able to take the assessment. And I can tell you, it actually is pretty darn accurate. So I fully support this. I think someone who is interested in interviewing, or if you are an HR person or a C-suite or a business leader or owner, this could really help you with your interviewing overall in general. Anna, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure. I appreciate it.
We'll hope to have you back soon, maybe on your second book. How's that?
Hey, let's do it.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk, WLOB 100.5 FM. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on Newstalk, WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.